The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell, and today we're going to start a series on the Greystone Hotel. This series is a breakdown of a program that was done at the Becker County Museum by John King and talks about the revitalization of the Greystone and everything they went through to make that happen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our Brown Bag Lunch on the presentation on the Greystone by John King. I'm Becky Mitchell. I'm the executive director here at the museum. We're so thankful to be able to partner with MMCDC on this project. And many of you who have had personal involvement with the Greystone, it's been a lot of fun the last few weeks. With that, I think I will turn it over to Mr. John King.
Thank you. Thank you, Becky. For you who don't know me, I'm John King. I worked for MMCDC. I retired about 3 years ago, and I was a project manager on the rehabbing of not only the Greystone Hotel, but the whole Holmes block. That would be what we used to know as the Markland Building, the Blanding Building, and the Beaton Building, and Gene Loft's building that was in the middle there someplace. Anyways, we're going to keep this real informal. If you have a question, just raise your hand so you don't forget it. We're going to go through some history first, a little chronological order of ownership. We're going to go through a little funding, and then we're going to end up with pictures of the actual rehab of the hotel. To start out, for Detroit Lakes, without there's one person you have to visit about when you talk about Detroit Lakes, and that's E.G. Holmes. If the more you read about him, the more impressed I get about the fellow. So I'm just going to read some stuff on E.G. currently. Holmes was born in the state of New York in 1841. He fought in the Civil War, was injured and captured in the Battle of Bull Run. After the war, he moved to Otter Tail County in Minnesota. Now, he married a gal from St. Cloud. Her name was Lucy. And Holmes had the foresight to see that the wealth was going to follow the railroads. So he thought the railroad was going to go through Otter Tail County. Well, it didn't. So he heard that the Northern Pacific Railroad was coming to the town of Detroit, so he moved here. Holmes saw a future in Detroit Lakes and purchased more than 17,000 acres of land in Becker County. He platted 4 additions in Detroit Lakes. He founded the first light company. That was right behind Godfather's Pizza. And he built and rebuilt several buildings in town. Holmes and a fellow named John West built the Minnesota Hotel in 1884. Now, that was located over where Lake Sports Shop is located today. It was a luxury hotel, and it burned to the ground in 1915. There were other hotels in town, but that was a true luxury hotel in town. Holmes was also a stockholder in Blanding Department Store, which was run by his nephew, Arthur Blanding, which is related to Don Blanding. Your younger brother? Holmes operated the Detroit Record newspaper. He was president of the Bank of Detroit. It was later known as the National Bank. And he was also a one-time state senator. Everything we know about him, everything you read, he was following the railroad because he knew that's where the money was going to come from. So he bought up the land so he could get the lumber, and then he would sell the lumber to the railroad for ties. So he was always thinking, a very astute businessman. But he also must have had a little character side to him also. He heard that by Richwood, they were going to form a township, and they were going to name it. So being the fellow that he was, he loaded up his carriage with beer, headed out to Richwood, and went to the meeting to name the township. And thusly, it's known as Holmesville Township. He then went to California in 1910, and when the Minnesota Hotel burned in 1915, Holm was asked to come back to Detroit Lakes to build the Greystone. He returned and built the first fireproof hotel in Minnesota, and then he died in 1931. So that's a history of E.G. Holm. So when you look at the plats around town and you see Holm's addition here and Holm's addition there, that's all after E.G. Holm, including the school and the street. So he was a real power not only in town, but also in northwest Minnesota. He was a very wealthy person. I'm just going to go through a quick timeline of the Greystone Hotel. Like I stated before, the Minnesota Hotel burned in 1915, and then a group of people got a hold of E.G. Holmes out in California and asked him to come back. So he came back and he formed a group to invest in the hotel. They hired some architects out of Bemidji, and then they let bids for the hotel. And the fellow that won the bid was August Randolph. And it happened to be Carl Randolph's father. And Carl, if you remember, I think most of you do, he was the county attorney here in town, and his son is... County auditor. And his son is Pete Randolph. So in September of 1916, they began to build the Greystone. Now, this was a very unique building in the way it was constructed. It's all poured concrete beams and posts. In other words, there's no supporting walls on the outside. And what they did is they poured that as they went up, and then they put beams from the main beams, they put about every foot, they put a beam across, and they infilled that with a clay tile, and then they laid about 3 to 4 inches of concrete on top of that. And that's where they went up. Well, it started in September. Well, as we know around here, it gets cold in the wintertime, so you can't pour concrete in the wintertime. Well, August, he wanted this thing done on time. So he went out and got a circus tent and covered the whole thing with a circus tent, kept it warm, and they poured concrete all through the winter to meet the deadline to get it open. The project was completed in early of fall of 1917 at the cost of $100,000. Again, it was quoted as the first fireproof hotel in Minnesota, but another item was it had indoor plumbing, and that was huge in those days. Most places did not have indoor plumbing. E.G. Holmes then bought out his partners, so he retained ownership in the hotel until his death in 1931. So he was a sole owner till 1931. Then he transferred his niece to his niece, Grace Wright, and we have a relative in the crowd here, Fred Wright. E.G. did not have any children, and the Wright family was very close to him, and that's why he transferred it to Grace, who then transferred it to Fred Wright. The elevator was installed in the 30s. The shaft was there from the beginning, but they never put the elevator in until the 30s. And then, Fred, you got to correct me on some of this stuff if I'm wrong. In 1961, the Wright family sold it to Innkeepers Incorporated. Innkeepers Incorporated then sold it to Milt Swedberg. And then it was sold to Bob Nelson. In 72, it was converted to apartments, and then it was sold to Vern Carlson, who then sold it to a couple from Wisconsin, Russell and Liz Lindblad. Well, they ran into a few financial difficulties, and they gave it back to Vern. Now, in the meantime, when this other couple owned it, it became in quite disrepair. And there was a lot of crime in that area. And according to the city, there was about 80% of the police calls went to the Greystone Hotel or that neighborhood. So at that time, Larry Buboltz was the mayor. And he had this good idea that MMCDC should buy this building. And so Arlen Kangas and Vern Carlson got together and started negotiating. Well, they ended up $50,000 apart. Well, so Larry says, the mayor says, why don't, Arlen, you got to buy the building. He says he wants too much money, he wants $50,000. Well, Larry says, well, the city will kick in $50,000. So he called his bluff and we ended up buying the building. Now, from Larry's point of view, he was spending $50,000, but he was a lot smarter than the rest of us because he knew once we started, we had to do the whole block. And that increased the tax value. So the city got their $50,000 back quite rapidly. So. On July 1st of 1999, it was placed on the National Register of Historic Places. And that's an important thing, and I'm going to explain that later, but that's an important thing as far as funding and seeing the financial aspect of the project go forward. In August of 99, the renovation began, and Gene Hill Construction was a construction manager, and he oversaw it, to the opening date of August 2000. Now, the renovation was complete. That particular phase was 36,000 square feet, 22 units of affordable housing, several commercial spaces at a cost of $3.7 million.
This audio piece was produced in the KKWE studios in Callaway, Minnesota, on the White Earth Reservation. This project is fully funded by a generous grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. If you'd like to hear more, check out our online archive at www.nijiradio.org.